Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 54, Episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist for Wednesday, October 24th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. He did the Jack.
He did the Monster Jack.
The Monster Jack.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the Jack.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the Jack.
He did the Monster Jack.
He worked at Cracked.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good. Hey, man, you should do that for a living. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
You are not alone. Miles of Gray's with you. Though you're far away, the Zeit is here to stay.
Anyway, that is Michael Jackson. You are not alone if you didn't get that. And that comes from @God1Rita2. But your display name, Maurice Andrews. So shout out to you, Maurice.
And mine is courtesy of Travis Stockstill at Travis S. Butcher.
American Butcher.
He is a real butcher.
Yes.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious Brandon Johnson.
Because y'all motherfuckers came out with that Michael Jackson.
Wow.
Y'all came out with that Michael Jackson, man. I had to.
Yeah.
Can you just do that for the rest of the show?
Yeah.
That was fucking awesome.
Man, you already
I'm
had
just trying to keep up.
Yeah, yeah, no, you kind of did more than keep up.
Yeah.
Went into first place.
Yeah. Now, I think my Monster Mash interpretation was better, but...
Yeah. You were crushing it, man.
I know. It was really good.
I mean, it was tight. I'm now, telling you, you had to come with the A-games.
I mean, the thing that most listeners at home probably don't know is I was doing both voices, both the high-pitched one and the Dracula, and they probably thought it was like, you know...
You had a backing band.
All right. Brandon, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, but first we're going to take our listeners through what we're talking about today. The goal of this show is we're trying to tell you guys what the nation and the world are thinking about today, taking a deep dive into America's and the world's shared unconscious and conscious using the headlines, box office reports, what's trending on Google and social media.
Google.
Today, we are talking about 2018 as the year of costumes for black kids.
Hey! Finally!
And Megyn Kelly wants to get in on that shit, so is upset that blackface isn't cool anymore. Someone just told her that, apparently. Then we're going to get into some substantive shit about Khashoggi. We are going to talk about the midterms. We are going to talk about the Trump Organization's business, which turns out is fraud. We are going to talk about a guy who groped a sleeping woman on a plane because the president said it was okay. So we'll talk about that. And then we're going to talk about Drake, who just dunked on the Beatles again. But first, Brandon, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Them GMC RVs, my homie.
I love this. Like a recreational vehicle?
Recreational vehicle. These GMC RVs are like when America was like, we need to make an RV in-house over at GM Motor Corporation. Uh-huh. And they made them on a Toronado chassis. So they're like a dope-ass Buick with a refrigerator and a shower.
Wow. How big are they?
They're 26, 24 feet long, and they are amazing. They look like the future.
Oh, this thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because it really is a car that they made into an RV, and it rides super low. There's no need for a step ladder. You can just jump up in it. It's got a refrigerator, a three-burner cooker. Here's what I'm trying to say. If you drink and do drugs like I do, you're going to need a vehicle. You're going to need a vehicle where you could say, walk out to it, stumble in it, fall asleep in it, wake up, take a shower, and then pretend to be normal again.
Right.
You know, a normal car doesn't work for me because the neighbors usually come out the house and go, you've been parked here for 2 or 3 days.
Right.
And you're wearing the same clothes.
It kind of looks like a giant van.
There you go. Looks like a giant
with
van.
With like more windows and yeah.
Are you in the market for one?
I'm in the market for one, man. If y'all, you know, send yours to please get this black dude a home at .org because I'm trying to raise money, man. I'm trying to raise money, get this GMC RV. They were made from like 72 to 78. They're the big boys.
A lot of the pictures I'm seeing, yeah, have that sepia-toned
you want to get in there.
Goodness.
Mm-hmm. Do yourself a favor. Come on down to Bob's and pick up an RV.
Is it so you get them used and they still run pretty well?
They run pretty well because it's a basic 454 engine. There's not a lot of scarcity mm-hmm. when it comes to parts.
Yeah, you're a car guy.
I do love cars, man. I love cars. It's crazy because I drive a Volvo wagon.
Okay,
it's crazy because I ride the bus.
Right,
love a car though. Love a car.
Right.
You always like vintage things though. That's like, one thing I know about you. Even like when you have like a bike, I remember you were like hand like restoring some older bike, and I'm like, damn, Brandon is a craftsman.
Because I'd be like, stop making new stuff, man. I just figured this out, man. I came outside, there were new street lights. They were halogen, and I was like, ah, yeah. Even the street lights is new. Stop making new stuff, man.
That's Michael Mann. He was a He always loved to feature LA's orange streetlights, right? That was like a whole thing about how like that used to be the look of LA in films was our like orange tinted streetlights. And then as, you know, technology came around, oh, it's energy inefficient. We're burning up too much coal or whatever at the time. Switched it to more energy efficient and we lost our identity.
Yeah, technology's never really done anything for anybody.
No, to be honest.
And
I don't even know what this podcast, I don't know what the fuck this is.
These mics aren't plugged in.
This is a radio show.
Right.
This is a radio show. This is not new technology. This is like 1930. We should be like, oh, look at my dog.
Uh-huh.
Back in the day, man. Back in the day, all they had was dogs.
Yep. Now it's blogs.
What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated is closed Facebook groups.
Closed mm-hmm. Facebook groups.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those private exclusive ass Facebook groups.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty overrated. Because, you know, one, they're not that closed. People can still see in them. And two, you're not really getting nothing done. You're not. If you're like garage sales and Los Feliz, closed group. Why is that a closed group?
Uh-oh.
Who is going to infiltrate the garage sale group?
Because I know there are groups that they make sense for them to be private because they're talking about sensitive things.
That's
And then I said, there has to be a reason. And you went, Los Feliz garage sale group. Like, that sounds like something you were interested in. And they're like, I'm sorry, this is a closed group, Mr. Johnson.
the Leimert Park Old Black People Society closed group. Mm. Like, what are y'all talking about? Black IP recipes?
They're talking about the drum circle at Leimert Park that happens on Sundays. My dad is there all the time.
That is
playing djembe.
Ask him if he's seen my dad.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's another show we have, Brandon.
Yeah, where's my dad? A closed group. Oh, I ain't never going to get found.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated, No Name. She's a Chicago rapper up in the game. People are they're into her, but they need to be a little bit more into her. I always like to force people into giving other people props.
There you go. Forced props.
Forced props.
Yeah, I think we've played a... Oh, you know what? No, we were going to play a No Name track. Maybe we have to play that tonight.
Chicago's got a lot of really good female MCs, but they also have like a lot of really good MCs that people kind of sleep on.
And just artists too, like Raven Lynae, who's coming out of Chicago. Love her.
Yep. Yeah. There's also this kid, Steve Lacy.
Who works with Raven Lynae all the time from the internet.
Yeah. Yes. And I don't think Steve Lacy's from Chicago. I think he's from deeper south.
Yeah.
But he's dope. And he is underrated.
Mm. Have you guys heard of this Chance guy?
Oh, boy. Yo, you know what's funny? I watched on Amazon, there was some Chance the Rapper slasher film.
What?
With, like, some other rapper and, like, what's homeboy's name from SNL? Chris Parnell. And it was so weird. I got 7 minutes in, and I was like, I can't, this is, I didn't even see Chance before. Like, he didn't even show up, and I had to turn off.
I'm a big fan of Chance, but I really got to tell you that Anderson .Paak is the money.
He's Anderson .Paak is fucking dope.
Honestly, Anderson .Paak's like Chance and Kendrick and Mary J. Blige all rolled into one great male rapper.
I just love that he drums and sings at the same time.
Yeah. And them suits, man. The short pants suits is incredible. I watched his Bonnaroo, and he wore it out and then got behind the drum set, wore the drum set out, rapped at the same time, and then sang. I mean, he's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's very talented.
That's why I call him the Phil Collins of rap. You know, drumming and... What is a myth, finally? What is something that people think is true you know to be false?
That smoking weed causes... What was the question?
What is a myth? What's something
what is
people
a myth?
Think
a
is...
A myth is something that people don't understand to be true, so they try to explain it away.
Right. Okay.
Right, so what's your myth? What's a myth that you know?
Oh, yes. That smoking weed is, that smoking weed causes,
Just read your paper, man. Just...
I wrote this?
Brandon is so high right
now. Memory loss.
There it is.
Memory loss. I'm not, you know, you didn't phrase it in the form of a question.
Right, oh, right, my bad. Right. What is a myth that you know?
All right, guys, let's get into the stories of the day. Let's get into the zeitgeist, Miles. This first story you put on here, that 2018 is the year of costumes for black kids.
I didn't realize. So on Slate, I go through all the interwebs, and they put this little article together, and I realized, yes, this was like a blockbuster year for black costumes for kids. I grew up dressing as white people as a kid. There weren't many, like, aside from me being like Magic Johnson one year or something like that.
Right.
There wasn't a lot. Always like a ready suit you could buy like out the bag, you know, like one of those costume bags, whatever. Also, my mom never bought me a bagged costume. I should also have that caveat there. But anyway, this year with movies like, you know, Black Panther and Solo, A Wrinkle in Time, shows like Luke Cage, the new Spider-Man, Miles Morales. There are so many costumes now for kids so they can, you know, represent themselves and look like the people they are, which is I just thought it was a really dope thing. It may seem minuscule, but
it's not minuscule.
No, I think it's a huge deal, yeah.
My mom was awful at Halloween, and she made me Dracula, and then when she used a trash bag as my cape, and then when I threw that away, because I was a smart child, she said, well, you have the suit on, so you'll be a waiter, and she handed me a white towel to drape over my arm,
which is
a ridiculous-ass costume.
Right.
I got to tell you, she put coffee grounds on my face to give me some stubble because as a waiter, I was a failure and I needed to have an unshaven face.
Oh, wow. She gave you a backstory.
Wait, how did she get the coffee grounds to stick like
this? She stuck them to my face with water, which then broke my face out as a child.
Oh, no.
So for Halloween, I was two things. I was an unloved child and an abused child.
with coffee ground induced acne.
That was better than when I was like 8 years old, and she said, you'll be Spider-Man. And she put me in a black leotard and some black tights, and then she put tape on my body the way Spider-Man has all those different lines running across his body. So when I got to the party, I'm inside the party, and a little girl comes over to me. At this point, all of the tape had wound up in a ball.
Yeah.
Oh, from the movement?
From the movement. It had wound up on my chest in a ball. And this little girl comes to me, and she's like, what are you for Halloween? And I was like, I'm Spider-Man. And she was like, no.
No,
you're not.
No, you are not.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I remember one year.
That's effort, though. She put effort in.
No, it's not effort. It's not effort to wrap a child in tape. Again, it is abuse.
I remember when Speed came out, I wanted to be a SWAT cop. And my mom was like, you're going to be a mad scientist. And she's like, put this dress shirt on. And I put a fucking white bathrobe on instead of a smock.
Right.
And then she put a bunch of hairspray in my hair and just fucked it up. Right. And I was like, here's your glasses, you're a mad scientist. I'm like, I wanted to be fucking Jack Tratton from LAPD SWAT. But, you know, this is a different era, too. I think also with my mom, she was too practical to be like, why the fuck am I going to spend $50 on a bag costume?
Right. Well,
you could wear this robe. And I already got hairspray, and you were a mad scientist. Which now I'm going to just buy all these fucking bad costumes. I don't know who I don't know. You going to dress up for Halloween?
I'm not going to dress up because I
dress up
in real life. No, because, you know, I dress up in real life for my job. So I'm like, you know, it's really hard to beat hair and makeup. I feel like a failure again. And as you've heard, the Holloway is traumatic for me. But I do make costumes. Like one year I was like Vanity Fair. So I blew up a Vanity Fair to like 5 feet by 3 feet and then put my face through the hole. And it was the Paris Hilton edition. And she was topless in a pair of riding pants. And I walked around parties and was like, I can't move or dance because I'm this big ass thing.
Right.
But I won, yo. Mama, I won. Mama, I grew up to win Halloween costumes, mama. At parties and stuff, I became something.
Vanity Fair. And somebody comes up to you and goes, no.
No. You're not. No, you're not.
Well, Megyn Kelly, maybe she saw that same article because she has some thoughts about what she should and shouldn't be able to dress up as, and we have a clip.
There was a controversy on The Real Housewives of New York with Luann as she dresses Diana Ross and she made her skin look darker than it really is. And people said that was racist. And I don't know. I felt like, who doesn't love Diana Ross? She wants to look like Diana Ross for one day. I don't know how like that got racist on Halloween. It's not like she's walking around.
I have not seen it.
Oh, you cut off my man, Jacob Soboroff, who then goes, I haven't seen it, but that sounds racist.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're like, well, what's racist?
Yeah.
And it got, wow. Wow. Yeah.
And a minute before that, she had said that, like, specifically said, like, people think it's offensive for white people to dress up as black people or black people to dress up as white people.
Yeah.
And I just don't see the big deal.
Right.
And like, it's like,
why is everyone so focused on race?
Yeah.
Says Megyn Kelly.
Right.
It's with the culture wars, you know, full steam right now. It makes sense that we're getting these takes around Christmas. I wonder who she would really want to dress up as. I can't imagine there's a person of color that she respects that she would dress up as, unless it's some kind of total caricature of something. But yeah.
She'd probably respect Kanye.
Yeah, right? Oh my God. Can you imagine? I bet you, right, that we're going to see some white boys black the fuck up. With the MAGA hat on, with the Yeezys, and then have a Kardashian be like, yeah, we're Kanye, MAGA.
Yeah.
And like, it's all good because Kanye wouldn't be mad because I'm a free thinker.
They can use that influencer costume that we saw.
Yeah, exactly, from Urban Outfitters,
yeah.
Which is just basically like Heather Gray bandages
that
you wrap on your body.
Yeah. Megyn Kelly, I think, got a lot of credit for being like part of the resistance. And I think this is just yet another example of, you know, just because somebody has a public feud with Trump does not mean that they are remotely woke.
Were people really trying to paint her, though, as some kind of hashtag resistance person?
Yeah, she was on the cover of all sorts of magazines.
Right, I remember that thing. But like, just aside from that cycle, did anyone even actually take that as like, oh, there's an ally.
Well, and then she went from Fox News to NBC.
Yeah, but then she's saying shit like, but then she's still Megyn Kelly. And
I am not speaking in defense of Megyn Kelly.
I know, of course not.
No, 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 you are, though, and you got a Megyn Kelly t-shirt on right now.
All right, but this is from her woke period?
Right.
She was woke Megyn
Kelly? This was her woke period.
The only way that mummy can be woke is by the end of the curse.
Right. Yeah, well, hey, you know.
Dried up. She's dried up, man.
You know, but it's funny. Like,
not her business, but her body.
Yes. It's calcifying.
Yes.
Well, you know, like you were saying, remember, you know, before we started recording, Brandon, you were saying, like, in the beginning, people just used to just say shit like, well, I don't see the problem, and they'd move on. And now we had to watch her hum and ha a little bit to try and come up with a reason. Like, well, if people want to dress like Diana, like, that's also that's not an argument to justify anyone wearing blackface. And if we're still trying to explain to people in 2018, like, the ins and outs of blackface, well, God, then it's 2018.
Also, like, I'm not going to try anymore. Like, I literally am going to just be at the better party. Like, there was this time where I felt like as a minority, maybe the reason that people were racist is because they were ignorant. And then you realize they're racist because they picked it. They want to be racist. So I'm like, this on you. Feel free, my dude. Stay as racist as you want to. We know how much your party sucks.
Right.
So feel free. Kick it. Kick it as much as you want to. Sans black people, Mexicans, Asian people, gay people, whatever. But we know what your party looks like. It's like mashed potatoes with mayonnaise and some crackers. It's not going to be good. There's going to be no good music, no good spices, no good nothing. So I'm like, I don't have time anymore to like educate people as to what's really going on out there. You're just going to have to like listen and hear the music and smell the food and be like, what the fuck is that over there? Because by the way, that's the only ambassadorship we have. We're not going to be like, come in and learn our customs and do all this other shit. You can hear the music and smell the motherfucking spices from now on. That's it.
Just a bunch of dudes standing around punching each other while naming as many cereals as they possibly can.
Welcome to the Proud Boys.
Those
dudes. Oh, you know, they got like three more dudes got arrested.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Because NYPD was finally like, hey, I think they realize this looks mad racist and we're on their side if we're not really investigating this. And like a couple people had to turn themselves in. They arrested another guy. We'll see where it goes. But hey, you know.
So there was a big street brawl.
I think we talked about that last week. Yeah. But between the Proud Boys and Antifa, McGavin McInnes did a reenactment of a Japanese socialist being assassinated with a samurai sword.
Mm-hmm.
That was tight. And then. There were like some counter protesters outside, and then right after the event, like a group of Proud Boys decided to get tussle with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Antifa found video of the fight ID'd every single Proud Boy.
Wild. Like before the NYPD was tweeting, like, hey, if you have any information, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, on like far left Twitter, everyone had been ID'd like within moments. They're like, okay, these are everyone's names. Here's their LinkedIn pages.
Right.
And they're like, does anyone have any info? They're like, the New York Antifa chapter cut like some video with like everybody like wants to rule the world.
We will find you.
Whoa. We will just like looping like their faces. Yeah, it was.
It's real.
Yeah, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy that you never see Proud Boys in Harlem because they're not
that
proud.
Is crazy.
Guess they're not really that proud.
Yeah, they're not going up past like maybe definitely not getting up to the 120s.
No, of any city.
Yeah.
I went down to Maxine Waters' office last time they said they were going to go down. Mm-hmm. It was like maybe 3-4 months ago. They were like, we're sending people to Maxine Waters' office. And I was like, well, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Me too.
You know where that is?
So, right. So it is like 120th.
Yeah.
And I was like standing there. I should not have been in that motherfucker. And I was like, this is the only time I ever see this neighborhood.
Right. Shit.
Because there were cops. But there were so many people out. That they had to
they canceled. They're like, damn,
isn't that weird.
They're like, it's weird. It's like black people don't like fuck with around with racism or some shit. Didn't realize.
Yeah.
Usually when I'm just pressing like yuppie white people, it's easier. But
that was crazy, dude. I'm like, you didn't geotag where you all were headed,
right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, even I was like, hey, y'all gonna get killed.
Pull up with that energy over there.
Right.
Literally, you have the wrong fucking place to be doing that.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring the Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and we wanted to check in on the story of Jamal Khashoggi's murder in the Saudi embassy because, yeah, just a lot of crazy details trickling out courtesy of Turkey.
Yeah.
And one of them is that, you know, so the Saudi government eventually came out with their story, which they were like, hold on, we're still working on our investigation, which was right. Just like three guys behind a door somewhere, just like testing out different stories. And they finally came out with Khashoggi came in to the consulate and then just started a fist fight with like 18 dudes who just happened to be there or something. And then they had to kill him. So yeah, that was their story. And Turkey released all sorts of details that kind of fly in the face of that.
Yeah, because Turkey's in an interesting position too right now. Like, a lot of foreign investment has left the country. There are sanctions against them, and they're kind of playing this like they're slow leaking stuff to try and get this out. Is be like, hey, if you want to start investing here, maybe we can get rid of some of these tapes. But they're really loving being messy as shit right now, because on one side they get to drive a wedge between the West and the Saudis, and another one they can possibly get money for their economy. But either way, they seem to know a lot, and the more they leak, the more this shit looks like a straight up like Tarantino flick. Yeah. Where, like, you know, the news over the weekend was, you know, initially before the I don't know how he died in that fist fight and got chopped up, but right. you know fist fights. The initial story when he disappeared was like, I don't know her.
Right.
I think he left. Check the video.
Right.
And it turns out that One of the dudes in the 15-man Harlem or Harem Globetrotters assassin squad that came through was a guy meant to be a body double to dress as Jamal Khashoggi. So right after, I guess they must have disrobed him, someone wore his clothing, put on a fake beard, walked out the back of the consulate so he would be on CCTV.
Yo, they didn't even have a guy with a beard. They went with a
fake beard. And homeboy didn't even wear the same shoes. Like, you could tell the whole thing was like, dude, the guy's just wearing his clothes.
Right.
And then they sent him. He went to the Blue Mosque and was basically trying to, I think, just appear on CCTV so they could be like, hey, he was there.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though his worried fiance was outside in the front,
yeah,
why would he go out the back, even though he was there to get his divorce papers? To
and then he went into a party and was like, I'm Jamal Khashoggi. And that little girl from Brandon's party was like, no,
you're not. No, you're not.
Look at your shoes, motherfucker.
You are part of the security services.
A fake beard.
But
that
yes.
is falling off.
So then that was then. So that was one element. And then the next thing is we find out that there were basically four calls that were made from the consulate to the royal offices in Saudi Arabia, like while the torture was going on. And then one call went to the U.S.
Huh.
But we don't know what that is. Which is very interesting, and I won't speculate because we can already smell shit a mile away. But then, you know, the next thing that we find out, it just gets, the layers just keep adding up. So, like,
yeah.
that's why we can wait 3 days and we can just spend 15 minutes talking about how fucking horrific this whole thing is. So then, on top of that, we found out that one of the heads of, like, intelligence Skyped in to the Saudi consulate while they were killing Jamal Khashoggi, basically.
Heads of Saudi intelligence,
yeah.
who reports directly to MBS, right?
Right, exactly. And they said they were, at one point, he was hurling insults at Khashoggi. Khashoggi apparently clapped back with his insults. And then, according to the Turkish intelligence, they said that's when this official who was on the Skype call in Saudi Arabia just said, bring me the head of the dog. And then closed the laptop and just did whatever the fuck they proceeded to do. So, yeah, this whole thing is just getting darker and darker. And then on Monday, Mohammed bin Salman and the king had received Khashoggi's sons to the palace to offer their condolences to them. And it is one of the most, like, I don't know, like, cringy, not cringe, makes me die inside to, like, look at MBS, like, shaking the hand of his son and acting like, I don't know what happened, man. We're going to get to the bottom of this. And it's just gets darker by the minute. And every minute you have people like Trump and Jared Kushner being like, well, let's see what happens. Or like, oh, you know, we got this huge arms deal where we're creating false stakes that aren't going to impact jobs here. Like we're trying to make it seem like. And it's just getting messier and messier.
Yeah. And as super producer Anna Hosni had pointed out, like the whole fuel thing and the idea that like we are completely dependent on them for fuel is not really true anymore. It's more just a strategic alliance and a political alliance, because when the Trump administration started out, they went all in on, you know, fuck Iran, let's go all Saudi Arabia, which, you know, they have a hostile relationship. The Obama administration had been more, let's work with Iran so that we're not totally dependent on this one power. Mm-hmm. And the Trump administration went full, let's prop this dude MBS up. So it's not a...
They got to hold him to a fifth and sixth world power. And that's
right.
The bottom line is that asset, oil, is as good as gold. It's as good as silver. It's as good as diamonds. And if you have gold, silver, diamonds, you are pushed down before you can ever think about coming in, because they fully understand. When I say they, I legit mean Europe understands that we trickle down from the top of this mug. We come down to the south and we get all the assets.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
They know the game.
I don't, right.
The Khashoggi shit is hilarious to me because I'm in this, not the death of, but it's hilarious to me in that you will have the average American sit here and give you the details of the Star Wars universe, talk much shit about Game of Thrones, and then when you say this shit is happening right now for the same reasons, they're like, I don't understand international policy.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
And what do you mean British Petroleum didn't right. want to split revenue with Iran when they first found oil there, so then they sent people from the U.S. to destabilize it and put in a puppet government that'll play ball with them? I don't know what that means.
Right.
I don't know what that storyline is. Right. I can't follow it.
That person was really knowledgeable for not knowing what you meant by that.
but yeah, it's, and then like, you know, when we talk about how MBS had that full court press of trying to revitalize his image from buying magazines and things like that. You know, he also played, I don't know if he played a lot of people, but you have people like Lindsey Graham now, who now that the evidence is overwhelming in terms of the kind of evil that transpired in this situation, acting like, I can't believe what happened. And like, I listen to Lindsey Graham just be like fully just shocked that, hey, how dare he?
I don't mind military sales, but I cannot do business with the current leadership, MBS. He's done to me. MBS talks about reforming the country in a way that I liked. I've never felt more used in my life. I introduced him when he was in Washington, but he imprisoned the Lebanese prime minister. He embargoed the country of Qatar without telling us, and I believe he is responsible for the killing of Mr. Khashoggi in the most brutal way, and I will never go back as long as he's there. You'll never convince me that he didn't do this.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't know this was going down.
Also, right. the thing is that I'll never ever sit at his dinner table again.
Yeah,
right.
That's the punishment.
Right. I'm done with him.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. This is not The Bachelor.
Yeah. And just a reminder that, you know, we talk on this show about the Bloids, Bloid Watch, and how there's this whole tabloid empire run by David Pecker, who is Trump's main homie. And when MBS was like going on his tour of the Western world, where he was like, you know, winning over Western powers, and there was a New York Times op-ed by Thomas Friedman about like what a dope guy MBS is, calling him MBS and being like, this guy's got great ideas. Yeah. I mean, what can I say? David Pegar had a tabloid that was all just MBS being like,
yeah,
great guy. MBS, great guy.
Great guy.
Like MBS Weekly is right. Basically what it was.
With no ads in it.
No
we
ads.
We always talk about that because they paid so much money to just print a book of just fantasy talk about him.
Right. So, you know, Trump was calling in favors on behalf of this dude. It's going to be hard to convince him.
But, you know, it's just putting him in a weird place because now they're finding themselves in a place where the facts, it's really hard to lie their way out of this.
Right.
That's why Trump, on one hand, has to be like, well, you know, I don't want these deals to follow through. We can't just throw alliances out the window like this over one killed journalist. But then on the other hand, be like, I really don't like what I'm seeing.
Right.
You know, and it's like you can't have it both ways.
Yeah. Also, if they really wanted to get down, they'd have gotten down. They'd have figured out who did it, how to prosecute these people. I mean, there's an Interpol. It's not like the U.S. is working with Interpol. I came in on the way today, and there were like three different places are working on this. And I was like, well, those three places are the most corrupt places on the planet.
Right.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
And it's like the cats are really trying to figure out what's going on with these birds disappearing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There is a great tweet that sort of producer Anna Hosnier shared with us that was a cat with a dead rat. And it says, he died accidentally while I was questioning him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought there was like a argument to be made from an international relations, like the realist standpoint, that we need Saudi Arabia because of, you know, brinksmanship, and like we need allies in that part of the world and we need their oil. But it turns out that's not even true. It's more just like Trump, and he kind of put himself out on a limb to back this guy, and now it's just making him look stupid.
Yeah. And sadly, they can disrupt a lot of the global economy just because of how dependent how fossil fuels play an important part in the region and the rest of the world. They do have this power, too, to also shake shit up if they want to. So it's a very...
Yeah, but somebody was saying that even if they do, like, shut down all exports, U.S., like, fracking would just go up. Like, there's enough fuel in the world now that you actually don't... Like, they don't have as much power as they used to in that respect, which is why MBS felt the need to, like, go on this, you know, diplomacy thing. It used to be that they could just do 9/11 and just be like, hey, but we got all the oil,
right.
Why don't you go attack Iraq instead? And now, because fuel is coming from so many different places and it's more of an international good, people don't have to listen to the Saudi.
Sure. Well, I think it would immediately affect the Middle East first, though.
Right.
Than us.
That's
in terms
the game.
Of the oil production.
The game is to get the Middle East to use all of their oil up first, and then Russia and the United States will have the largest oil stocks in the world.
Yeah.
So if you knew you had a diminishing supply of something, you would get your rivals obviously to burn through theirs, and that's what the United States policy is going to be. It's going to be, we sit on oil reserves. You guys give us your stock,
And then when things turn badly, we've got all the oil. And you know this because most presidents open up the strategic oil reserves. Clinton used to do it. I think Obama did it once. This president is like, no, we'll do it to break the Saudis per barrel price.
Right.
But we're not going to do it to give the American consumer a break on their gas
right,
prices.
Right, right.
So you know that we're about to go into a cycle. November, December, and January is when they're going to hit us all for gas increases.
But, guys, the midterms are coming up, so let's talk about things that are going to affect real Americans, like the caravan of immigrants who are heading north for, I mean, they must be just feet away from the U.S.-Mexican border based on the reporting on Fox News, and full of... Trump didn't even say terrorists. He just said Middle Easterners.
Yeah.
Like he kind of.
He was like, look inside there. There's right. MS-13.
There's criminals and Middle Easterners.
There's Middle Easterners.
So is that just bad on its own that they're from the Middle East?
I don't. Well, again, you know, because it's not even a dog whistle. It's just a racist fucking flare gun he sets off. That's just basically like, don't look at this as people trying to, you know, avoid the hardships or like the fact that we're in bed with the Honduran government that's exacerbating the problem.
Yeah.
And just focus on the fact that these are terrorists.
Right.
These are barbarians at the gate.
Yeah.
They're going to fuck everything up.
And they are 1,700 miles away and traveling on foot.
At a pace of 6 miles an hour. Right. Who will stop them? Will it be a breeze, rain, maybe even an uphill incline? Yeah. How will we stop these people? I hear the numbers go from like, there's 100 people to like, there's 7,000. There's 70,000.
Yeah.
How will we stop 7,000 people from getting into the United States? I don't know. A bus?
Right.
Just two buses parked sideways. Do we not have a gate? Is there people are worried that they're just going to,
just pull up. Yeah. 7,000 deep.
We could have stopped if there had been like 5,000, maybe 6,000,
right.
7,000 people. How do you catch all those people?
Well, because again, it's just to, you know, incite the base and just get them on this like racist paranoid fantasy of brown people moving towards a thing. And again, it's and only presenting this story as like they're coming to harm us, not we've harmed their countries and made it unsustainable for them. So therefore they are migrating to find better lives.
They are walking through very dangerous country and they're walking as a group because that's the only safe way to like walk through that part of the world without any protection. And it's full of women and children and as any group of 7,000 people would be, it's probably has some people in there who aren't women and children, who aren't great, but like that's people are willing to just, you know, go with this group because it sucks where they're coming from.
Well, but it just underlines again how Trump knows fuck all and this administration is. At every turn, their answer to a problem is some kind of self-defeating solution where it's like, Hey, I'm gonna solve immigration. Okay, we're gonna build a wall. Okay, that didn't work. Okay, how about this? I'm gonna be so fucking inhumane to people that they'll never come. Wait, they're still coming.
Right.
Okay, then my next thing is I'll pull all my aid to the countries that they're coming from to even worsen the situation. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing even reasonably. You're like that. No. None of these are actual solutions. And for a while, he was like. Well, they got to, we have to, like, their countries have to be great again so they don't leave or whatever. But every time he's proposed slashing our aid to Central America, luckily Congress is like, okay, maybe we'll take a little bit off, but nothing close to the cuts you're asking for. And also, he doesn't have the power to just be like, okay, cutting aid like that. That,
right.
Again, because he doesn't also understand how the general government operates.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a very, every solution is exacerbates the issue and he has no there's no awareness. And then even again, he was over the weekend talking about a tax cut he was gonna give people.
Yep. Yeah. Like, middle class tax cut.
Yeah. Oh, 10% by next week, right? And like in the middle of a rally putting somebody like in the corner like, yo, don't make it hot for me. I can't guarantee a tax cut. It's like 10% by next week you'll see it. And then a reporter was like, hey my man, Congress isn't even in session. You know they have to do that. And he's like, yeah, but we're gonna have a resolution and blah blah blah. And like they're like, but what do you mean? There's no one can vote on that. And he's like, yeah, but we'll do the vote after. And it's like, so then how are you gonna get the tax cut? And he's like, we'll figure it out.
You gotta trust me. You should see some of the shit that I'm pulling off already.
Yeah,
right.
I'm actually just able to lie.
Yeah,
and
right.
No one questions it unless it's a fucking think for yourself or like you.
Yeah.
It's about to get real grassroots up in this motherfucker because people are going to figure it out. They're, if we lose midterms, which there's a significant chance that we could lose midterms.
It's possible. It's not significant, but it's in the realm. I don't know. I guess that's 14%. Also me not even wanting to entertain that idea. But
I'm
yeah.
like, you know, dig in, everybody. You know, dig in. Hide your wives. Hide your kids. Even if we win the midterms, hide your wife. Hide your kids because the backlash from that shit's going to be insane as well.
I always do. In my basement. Just one detail that I thought was amazing. In a New York Times article, they interviewed a Republican in northern Minnesota named Carol Shields, 75.
Oh, Carol. I love Carol, man.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Wait till you hear
She said she was afraid that migrant gangs could take over people's summer lake homes in the state of Minnesota. What's to stop them, said Ms. Shields, a retired accountant. We have a lot of people who live on lakes in the summer and winter someplace else. When they come back in the spring, their house could be occupied.
What fucking chain email did she get forwarded?
Yo, but this is the thing. It's,
right.
It's very, very, like his rhetoric, his idea, just saying, yeah, we're going to pass tax cuts, even though it's like technically impossible. Like that shit just works with He's, people because yeah. they've stopped like the whole the media is the enemy thing. He is the only source of information for the people who follow him.
He's like, who was the leader of the M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Village? Who was like the head dude of The Village?
I forget. Let's Whatever just call that, him The Village Mayor.
Was it William Hurt or something? Anyway, was just sort of being like, yeah, you don't want to go out there.
Right.
Like, he's fucked up.
Yeah.
Believe me. I already know. Yeah. And you don't want to ask questions. There's nasty monsters. Just stay in here. Everybody shut the fuck up. We'll be okay. Right. And like... These people like just lack such real world experience of whether they even understand what the life of a person who is migrating or what like how people begin to squat on a vacation home. Like, what are these people going on fucking Zillow or something? Like, there hasn't been much activity on this property. Like, let me go squat over here. Like, what the fuck? Like, what are they? What do they think people are doing? And again, the only reason you can even operate in there is A, probably because you so badly want to believe that people who are immigrating to this country are evil, or you're just so ignorant that all you need is a Trump or a chain email to tell you, there was a vacation home where someone was squatting and it may have been immigrants, to then go, oh yeah, that's what happens now. Everybody's right. home.
Yeah, just a little reminder, we don't want your lifestyle. We don't want your shit. Nobody wants to live in your lake house. That's baller to you.
Right.
What's baller to us is hanging out with each other. Right. Not some secluded ass location. And I love lakes. I'm really into the vacation lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But we ain't trying to live in Minnesota. It's cold, bro.
Right.
It's cold.
And also just presupposes that these people are criminals just off top rather than this is someone who, they're coming here to fucking
occupy your
steal
home.
your lake house. No, right. These people are coming here because they're trying to better their lives and they're not trying to go from A to Z suddenly.
Right.
They're like, oh, yeah, I'm walking from Honduras to Beverly Hills.
Right.
And I'm just going to kick a door down, and this is my life.
My house now.
Yeah. Like
a lake house has ever appeared in an ASAP Rocky video. Right. When you start seeing your shit appear in our videos, then you can be nervous. Until then, just go ahead and keep that Winnetka.
Just ASAP Rocky, just swatting at mosquitoes. Minnesota is real bad for mosquitoes in the summertime,
is it?
Guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
All those lakes.
Yeah. Good to know.
Another GOP candidate's family is begging you to vote for not him.
Yes.
This in Nevada.
It's amazing. Because first, you had like people like Bob Goodlatte's son was being like, my dad sucks. And then there was that other guy who all his siblings were in that ad. Be like, and I know he sucks because I'm his brother. I'm his sister.
Yeah.
And now there's another op-ed for this guy. I may be pronouncing his name wrong. Adam Laxalt. He's running for governor in Nevada. He's the Republican candidate. And his family members published an op-ed in the Reno Gazette being like, please don't vote for our brother.
Yes.
He's full of shit.
Yes.
Like, essentially is what it boils down to. They're like, for starters, the man's claiming he's from Nevada. First of all, yes, he was born in Reno, and then we moved the fuck out of there when he was a baby and lived in D.C. for all of our lives. He only moved back in 2013 when he wanted to become a politician.
Right.
Next point. He acts like he's some folksy dude. And then, like, they're bringing up this thing that he did, like, the Basque Fry, which was, like, some, you know, they had, like, hay bales and things. And this is the thing. They were talking about how, like, he has, like, this fake aura. And this is from a quote from it. Adam is dressed in a, quote, Western shirt, monogrammed with his campaign logo, quote, work boots, and jeans that look like they were ordered off Amazon the week before. If Adam is elected governor, these values will be put in danger. So they're talking about how he's just a train wreck. they just go down a list, and it just shows you that people are starting to just sort of get fed up with other people's bullshit too, because they're just being like, man, like before it was fine when he was just trying to be a, you know, politician or whatever, but I think they're seeing like how aggressively full of shit some people are, and they're like, I'm sorry, I have to air this dude out.
Yeah, start snitching.
This is too much. Yeah. And you got to start snitching.
Start snitching because just like people, just like the Germans were like, man, somebody turned our family into the Nazis. You could do the shit on the left too.
Mm-hmm.
You could be like, the homeboy is not a liberal at all. This dude is straight up saying that he bought Toms, but he don't wear Toms. He wears Toms to work. And then he goes home and he puts on baby ostrich made by small African children who get beat up by small Asian children paid to do that. Like, we need white people.
Cycle.
White people, y'all got to start snitching. Dudes, y'all got to start snitching on dudes that you know be super creepy. Don't wait until people come forward. Don't wait till your black friend is like, that person's a little racist. Don't wait for your girlfriend to come and be like, that dude's a little creepy. Start snitching.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And
we have to make new merch. Start snitching.
Start snitching.
Start snitching.
Start snitching. Start snitching.
Snitches get
rich.
Hugs?
Snitches get riches.
Snitches get riches.
That would be great.
All you need is one dude to like have a whole glow up from being like the wokest frat dude. Like, right. Guys, I got to put this whole frat on blast. And then he gets like a deal, and then like, hey, snitches get riches.
That would be awesome. Like, check this out, man. It's video. It's video of this dude dropping roofies into girls' drinks.
Yeah.
And this is video of us beating his ass. Oh, world star.
That's pretty soon. I mean, yeah, that change has to come internally.
That change has to come.
We'll do a Twitter poll on whether snitches get riches or snitches get hugs is the better catchphrase.
I can't spend no hug. I hug my landlord, I get evicted, bro.
I know from experience.
Right. He's like, you have an erection. I want next month's rent.
So I wanted to talk briefly, because there's been a story that's been sort of slowly trickling out over the past couple weeks just about what the Trump Organization's business actually is. Adam Davidson, a New Yorker writer, this has kind of been his beat for the past, you know, year, basically, just kind of keeping an eye on all investigations into the business side of the Trump administration and the Trump Organization. And he wrote a short article that was called "Is Fraud Part of the Trump Organization Business Model?" And just kind of made the point that if you look at the history of the Trump Organization, they go from like one business to a completely unrelated business to a completely unrelated business. And these are businesses where you don't raise money in the same way. You don't raise money from the same people. Like, all of the things are different in a way that makes it makes no sense that
like
you would...
Like a snake oil salesman who goes from town to town where right. No one knows what they're up to.
Hawking medicine that basically has the same ingredient, which is alcohol.
Right.
Interesting. Like,
there's a reason you don't see people go from builder of lower middle class apartments to builder of luxury buildings to casino company to brand licensing firm to like just seller of its name on buildings and bottled water. It's like none of those things really contribute to one another.
But we do, because we live in Hollywood.
Right.
So we understand this concept. And the truth of the matter is, like, old boy builds buildings. Casinos are very large buildings. He knows a bunch of builders. That makes sense. If a guy is an interior designer and he suddenly moves to cruise ships, that makes sense to me, because a cruise ship is a space and he's good at doing spaces. So I get how he's doing it. It's that they keep moving around and burning people from business
That's
to
right.
business. And that they're able to raise capital because they become corporations. That's the thing that people need to look at. It's like, this dude has so many businesses that are illegal.
Right.
That there's got to be some laundering going on.
Like, oh, yeah.
And he's so old school mafia that he's got to be guilty of something that a prosecutor, even a base level. I'm trying to tell you could send the NYPD to Trump's house and they would find some shit.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
Yeah. So I knew about the New York Times story that was like 30,000 words, like too many words to read the whole thing. But basically, it was all about how the Trump Organization was founded with money from Trump's dad. Trump always said he only took a $1 million loan that he paid back from his dad. And he was a millionaire by the time he was 8 and was just, you know, making, just getting all sorts of money and finding different ways to avoid paying taxes on it. Most of them legal, some of them questionable in terms of their legality. But there was also a WNYC investigation that came out last week that was all about how the Trump Organization does deals internationally. And it's basically like, this shit is all fraud.
Greece, bro.
Yeah, it's basically Greece, where like they just get money from countries where, you know, nobody would borrow money from.
Get money.
Yeah.
Go to Turkey. Yeah. Get money.
Just deceptive borrowing.
Yeah.
Getting people to buy in and then just... The project gets shuttered,
right.
And the Trump Organization makes off with money, and a bunch of other people get screwed, and they go from one country to the other doing that.
Yeah.
And then what are you going to do? So, like, he builds a building, and he uses crooked contractors, and those contractors have street-level operatives who, you're a legit dude, you just wanted to put the mirrors in a Trump hotel, right? But the concrete company is a little dirty. It's got some guys who'll show up at your house, and he knows that. That's the difference between Trump and everybody else, is that we're all fucking with the mob and gangs. We're dealing with like, oh, somebody needs a TV. This dude is the syndicate. The syndicate is really rich white dudes who are the mob. It's a control of all the rest of the shit. It's the people who own the planes. The people who own the poppy fields. It's those cats. He's always been with those cats, dude. Mm-hmm. He's been filthy since he was a kid.
Yeah.
And his daddy was filthy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Really, really bad.
It's like the Kennedys, only less class. Because Joe Kennedy was a bootlegger. Right. And then he wanted to get out the business, so we put his kids into politics. And that's what we're watching right now.
Right. Yeah. And when our future president, Ivanka Trump,
you know,
deigns to run.
Could you?
She's not going to run. She's going to be like, she's going to be like an ambassador and like selling black.
Who knows, man? You fucking think about it. He's like, I'm not going to run in 2020. Ivanka is.
Yeah. I bet she'll come away from this presidency, if not in prison, she'll be like, the things I saw this do to my father, the mainstream media.
Right,
was,
right.
Like, totally uncalled for. And I will never, like, we be need a politician.
Please watch out for Nikki Haley showing up on the scene all of a sudden.
Oh, she's
for president.
She's scheming. We saw that. I saw the move coming from a mile away.
Also, I love how everybody get out there right after either A, they're about to do some dirt, or they just did some dirt.
Yeah.
Right.
With Nikki Haley, I'm like, oh boy, we kill a journalist in an embassy, and now you know. Interesting, because wouldn't this have been under your jurisdiction as something to look into?
The UN? I don't know. Whatever.
Whatever.
And just saying that Khashoggi said that the thing that made MBS like tell him to stay quiet, and I've said this almost every time we talk about this, was when he criticized Trump. So, you know.
That could have just been like, you're fucking up my money.
Yeah, could have.
But also, he did go after the prince directly.
Yeah, he did. But
and that shit, he should have a little bit of known. Well, no, I wouldn't say a little bit of known better. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, fuck seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. Do we know when his sons showed up at the palace, was that just like out of fear for their life?
Yeah.
Essentially? Yeah. Super producer Anna Hosnier just informed us one of the sons has a travel ban and cannot leave the country. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this photo is frightening. It will shake you to your core. He's just like shaking. He's like, yeah, I'm sorry about your dad.
Yeah.
And the kid, you could just tell, like, he's shaking the hand of the person responsible for his father's death.
Right.
Like, grisly death.
Yeah.
What a fucking demented power move to pull on somebody.
Yeah.
Like that.
But that is that old.
But like, that's that shit, yeah.
That's that 3BC type shit.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Let's talk about this Mother Jones story. A Florida man, always the start of a good news story, was arrested Sunday after allegedly groping a woman who had been sleeping on a plane.
Yep.
And he told authorities that President Donald Trump said it was acceptable to, in the words of a federal criminal complaint, quote, grab women by their private parts.
Yes. Groped a sleeping woman on the plane and... Yeah. I mean, it was only a matter of time, I think, because clearly his racist actions brought all the closeted racists to be like, oh, okay, let me take my mask off. And it was only a matter of time before, I mean, you look at the people we just confirmed to the Supreme Court and shit like that. Of course, like, I thought this would happen before racists.
Yeah.
Right.
They'd be like, ah, whatever. I mean, look, he said, we have President Pussy Grabber. Like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
And the shit is up. I mean, sexual assaults are up. Racist crimes are up. You know, I'm not surprised that he did that.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised that he used that as a defense. I wouldn't be surprised if it worked.
Right.
At the point that we're at, if they were in an all-male jury with a judge and all-men prosecutors and defense attorneys, if somebody was like, yeah, well, the Trump defense is it's working in a lot of cases across the country.
Right.
It's the best thing since Stand Your Ground.
Yeah. And, I mean, it does seem like, it seems like we've seen his behavior sort of have a backlash effect with the Me Too movement, but it is probably the time where we're going to start seeing the backlash to that backlash.
Yeah, right? Well, I mean, I guess I don't want to...
with Kavanaugh.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to present it as if like, oh, no one was being groped on airplanes prior to this. I mean, this has always been an issue, but like to have people just be like, oh, why'd I do it? Because my logic is the president said this is 2018, 20 whatever, and there's no laws.
All right, guys, let's talk about Drake.
Oh, my goodness. This man, even when he loses, he wins.
It's true.
There's something, you know, I don't know what his secret is. Maybe that he's just really good at collaborating with artists that will guarantee him hits, like Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
But that track, M.I.A., basically put him above the Beatles now because now he has the most Hot 100 top 10 songs in a single year. In 64, the Beatles had 11. Hard Day's Night, Can't Buy Me Love, etc. And this year, Drake has 12. So, he's
on a run.
Can't be stopped.
Yeah.
Can't be stopped.
He's on a hell of a run.
Do you like Drake?
I'm going to be honest, I like some Drake.
Sure.
And I certainly liked him when he first started out.
I think everyone did, yeah.
There's a track where he's like, I'm trying to do this thing where I sing now. I hope it works out. And I was like, really dope, because his rappers go, he's probably one of the few that can sing and rap at the same time.
I mean, kind of sing.
He can
whine.
He gets auto-tuned.
Yeah. He can whine, you know, in a melodic way.
But he was such a kid, and he seemed authentic initially. And then some of the stuff, what I would like is if his, you know, it's my two cents.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep it much shorter than this next time. But it'd be cool if his comments about women changed. I hope that he matures as a man.
I don't know. I mean, he seems to be friends with a fucking bunch of children too.
Right.
I don't know why the fuck, man. That what was Millie Bobby Brown like giving her dating advice?
Yeah. Shutting the restaurant down for that 18-year-old that he's been friends
with.
Yo,
I mean,
14.
You think the shoe's gonna drop with this dude? Also,
I don't know, man. We need to keep a very close eye on Aubrey.
Yeah.
Aubrey Graham.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
I do think it's
keep an eye on himself.
It's important to be a mentor, but you know, you could have been a mentor to some girls that weren't already gorgeous celebrities. Right. That's how you can always tell when a man is friend. He's like, oh yeah, I sponsor ladies. You know, I'm good to everybody. But then you look at all the ladies that he sponsors, and you're like, but they're all gorgeous, B.
Right.
You don't have nobody in there that's like, you know,
that doesn't look like a just Instagram thirst trap or something.
Right.
Like that.
That you're not trying to have sex
or celebrity,
with,
right?
That you're not in your mind. So I'm like,
hey, the God's Plan video. You know, he was handing out money to whoever.
But he still wouldn't. But you know what? It's amazing to me that that shit always pisses me off. Because my dude, your budget was $1 million. You handed out $1 million, but you worth so much money.
Yeah.
And also long term gains. I think you understand endowment. Exactly.
And also, you're just exploiting these people's need so you can just flex in a video.
Right.
Like,
Dr.
come
Phil.
The fuck on.
Right.
Why don't you do some actual philanthropic work and not make it a music video and not do it for everybody to be like, yo, the God's Plan video, though.
Right.
He made that one family cry with money.
Right.
Like, that's a reflection of our economy and our society, not him being a deity.
And God needs better representation, because a lot of people be jacking him. And then they'd be like, thank God for this.
Right.
Like, wow, God is getting screwed on these deals.
It's like, you fucking up God's brand.
Right.
But I mean, Drake is kind of getting to that level of success, that like Elvis, Michael Jackson level, where like, it's not...
In terms of
hits,
I'm gonna tell you, like, the stats don't hold up, because if we're talking streams and shit, that's how he's getting these.
Right, right.
So that's not really fair. I'll give him his props.
I just mean how dominant as an artist he is.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna go and be like,
he can't dance.
I mean, most of his recent albums have been filler, basically. Like, each album has like maybe two songs. You're like, oh, that was, he used to have albums where the whole album was good.
Right.
But you know.
God bless him. I think congratulations on your success. I'm not trying to be a hater or nothing, but I will also call a spade
mm-hmm.
and say, like, these are the issues.
And start hanging out with women who are your age, my man.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Brandon, as always, it's so fun having you in studio, man.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah.
Where can people find you?
You know, a lot of stuff I got coming out, it's going to be animation, so it's going to be 2 years from now, but you know.
Damn, for real? Like, literally 2 years from now?
It's a nightmare, because I got bills that have to be paid right now, and I'm trying to get into clubs right now, I'm trying to do stuff right now.
That payment is on a net 700.
Right.
You're like, that's 2 years?
Also, thanks for like, 2 years from now, I'll be animated famous, but
right.
You still won't even recognize me. My life sucks, basically, is what I'm trying to tell you. You can see me outside. I'll be in front of the building, man, trying to get this money.
Isn't that good fame, though, that people won't recognize you on the street, but you'll
Not when you're trying to get stuff
money?
Done.
Oh,
Not when you're trying to get
right,
stuff
right,
done.
Right.
Yeah, or convince people that you're successful. They're like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, well, in 2 years.
Right.
Like, okay, sir.
Uh-huh.
Right.
All right. And is there a tweet or some other piece of media? Because I know you're not on Twitter. But...
Man, I'm not on Twitter. Y'all never getting these jokes for free, man. Come see my shows, man.
All right. Where's your next show?
I'll probably be doing a Harmontown. Check out wherever you find out and listen to podcasts. I'll probably pop up on a Harmontown.
Yeah,
you know.
Okay.
I'm happy to be at this one. This is really, I'm in the now.
In
listen
the
to
now.
This one.
There
this
you go. You know what? Start this over. That's what you should do.
Yeah.
Relive this one, or go back to the first time Brandon came through.
That's right.
Miles, where can people find you?
Oh God, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. I don't know. I had to be Lego Batman right there. A tweet that I like is from Jemele Hill, who actually just quote tweeted this interaction that was with Trump talking about the tax cuts that he said were going to happen. And it just says, well, let me just read you this interaction. And the question and the president. Question, you said lower tax cuts. You said that you wanted tax cuts by November 1st. Congress isn't even in session. How is that possible? Trump, no, we're going to be passing. No. We're putting in a resolution sometime in the next week or week and a half, 2 weeks. Question, a resolution where? We're going to put in, we're giving a middle income tax reduction of about 10%. We're doing it now for middle income people. This is not for business. This is for the middle. We've already given them. And the question, are you signing an executive order for that? No. I'm going through Congress. But Congress isn't in session, though. We won't have time to do the vote. We'll do the vote later. Congress is out, though. We'll do the vote after the elections. And Jamel Hill just puts, the president is Leslie Nielsen from Airplane. Oh, yeah. What a joke world we live in.
Oh, my God. Gould Dinner Roy quote, something at me. He said, you know that piece of trivia you bring up about Tom Selleck being the first choice for Indiana Jones? And then he captured an image of Magnum P.I. next to Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones. And then superimposed over that are Chip and Dale from Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. And they were dressed like Magnum P.I. and Indiana Jones. I did not know that. And people were like, man, you of all people really should have known that shit.
Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
And another tweet I've been enjoying is Pixelated Boat tweeted, Trump. We've got Ted Cruz here tonight. Great guy. His wife looks like shit. But Ted is great. He's a big, beautiful baby. God. Aren't you, Ted? Ted Cruz, naked except for a diaper. Yes? Trump. Say it, Ted. Ted Cruz. Papa.
Oh, no. That photo of him where he's shaking hands with Trump and Ted Cruz is like spine is curled over. Like, yep. I just want to caption it. What bike? Debo'd his ass in front of everybody.
And then Joe Brack tweeted, Caitlin Durante has the best laugh. All podcast listeners agree. So keep being funny to all the people who are on podcasts with her. And I concur. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. And before I tell you where you can follow us, we want to tell you guys about an exclusive offer.
Exclusive.
So on our TeePublic merch site, we are going to give you guys 30% off the whole site.
Don't give it away.
Until the 28th of this very month. And all you need to do is use the code ZEITGANGYES.
One word.
ZEITGANGYES.
ZEITGANGYES and get 30% off the whole site. But buy our merch because ours is the flyest and you want to let people know that you're not here for the dumbness with your t-shirts and hats. Or we don't have hats yet, but bags and other things. But yes, please use the code. Go to teepublic.com/thedailyzeitgeist.
And use the code ZEITGANGYES, which I thought at first when they sent it was ZEITGANGYES, but it's not. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. You can also find that stuff in the show notes. Miles, what song are we going to write out?
Let's do a no-name track, actually. This will be Diddy Bop featuring Cam Obi and Rowry. This is from Chicago MC No Name.
Yes!
As Brandon brought up. So, yeah, let's run some more No Name tracks.
What's so good about No Name?
It's just dope. Listen to her. You know, it's different. It's not on just... it's a direction where I like hip-hop to be going in. Is exactly what it is. You know, there's not... I think people get a little bit myopic in what you can talk about or rap about and what hip-hop can sound like or look like. And I like artists that are challenging that because the genre is very, very malleable. And I want to see people bend it in ways. It can be bent in many ways. So, yes, this is a good one. And the production is really great, too. A little guitar sample in there for you. Yes.
All right. We are going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then.
Bye.
I'm ready. Oh, this sound like Mississippi, sippy cup. cup. Baby, turn Bibby up. Henny invented the catalyst for happiness in my cup. This sound like kiddies on the playground. Mama was running up. Ooh, you about to get your ass beat. This sound like niggas complaining when they bitches like Razzie. B2K in the stereo, we juke in the backseat. Or juke in the basement. In love with my case. Was this feel like jumping in the pool when I'm knowing I can't?
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.